Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and everyone at the Radio Academy hopes you had a lovely Christmas. Kick through the wrapping paper and Satsuma peel and come and join me for our second look back at the best of 2025. This week, it's some of the events we've either held or covered on the podcast. And let's start with a big one. In September, we had our annual Radio Academy Festival. This year, we opened with a session on the main stage called Black Voices Matter, led by Tony Phillips and Axel Cacoutier. Tom Jackson was part of Adam Skin's team making the festival podcasts, and he asked them about the process of putting their talk together.
Last year, I worked for the first time with Axel, and so when I was invited very kindly to do this, I wanted to work with Axel on something that I hadn't done before. I had an idea about what we should talk about, which is about voices, black voices, the importance of listening. But I wanted to try something, just as I did last year, to do something in a way that I hadn't done before, which is to work with somebody who's got such an exceptional grasp of storytelling and the use of sound. And I know that Axel has been playing a little bit with visuals over the last few years. So it was just an opportunity to just do something different and, you know, expand and extend what I normally do.
Axel, can you talk to us a little bit about those visuals? When you were putting them together, for those who may not have been able to make it to the festival today, can you give us an idea of what we were able to witness earlier?
Sure, yeah. Reading Tony's script, getting a sense of the ambition and the goals and the overall feeling and takeaway, the approach was very similar to how I would approach sound. With it's a complimentary, it's a conversation, it's a palpable presence that with Tony's script, what he's saying will eventually make sense, will match up with what the visual is saying, the same way that the sound, the classic technique of like, okay, we're hearing a forest, we don't know why we're hearing a forest, and then Tony regales a wonderful experience and then boom, we're in the forest, kind of thing like that. So like just really laying the groundwork to set up the listener, the viewer to participate in the storytelling just as much as Tony is telling us the story.
And I think that worked brilliantly in the talk just now. You could hear a pin drop. It was that silent. And coming back to you, Tony, you were talking about hearing and seeing. How important is that?
I mean, it's critical. It's hard for me and it's hard for a lot of people to forget what happened in 2020 with George Floyd. And there are countless other cases like that, tragedies like that. So I wanted to kind of remind us what George Floyd's, what happened to George Floyd is a reminder then, it's a reminder now, and it's a reminder for the future that actually, you know, the future of this industry really is, it's absolutely dependent on people listening really, really closely to each other. I can't state that any louder. It's just essential. Not just for radio, but for life and for politics and for international relations, everything. It's all about listening. And that's the simple message I wanted to get across.
The theme of this year's festival is World of Sound. And what is it about audio that suits bringing diverse stories from all over the planet and all sorts of different cultures and backgrounds to life?
I mean, it's essential. And, you know, it's interesting that the platform of podcasting should be doing this because it's made recording stories and gathering stories so much easier. The challenge is really making sure that these voices are actually being heard, that they're cutting through somehow. So, I mean, the theme, I think, is brilliant. I think it's essential. And every year it should be World of Sound.
Coming to you, Axel, how did it feel to be opening the festival?
There's two ways I can answer that. The first fun way, being an Aries myself, I very much love going first because that's I find myself doing that a lot anyway. So this feels very apt and synchronous. But I think overall, in the putting my audio head on, I loved the idea because I knew what we were going to say needed to be heard in a way, and it's 10 out of 10, big up whoever curated this, whoever decided that with Tony's thing. I don't even know how much was written before this decision was made that we'd go first, but love the fact that we did. And honestly, yeah, couldn't very content.
At our Foot in the Door event in Belfast in March, guest producers Izzy Edge and Fiona McIntyre from Queen's Radio asked our guest speakers Dan Noble from Absolute Radio and Matt Coulson from Broadcast Bionics how they thought events like Foot in the Door were helpful.
I think they're extremely important. I think it's fantastic. I think these guys will agree. We're just talking about it. That isn't it wonderful to be in a room full of people who want to work in the business? And the world of audio production in particular is expanding way beyond what we ever thought it would be. So there are more opportunities in audio perhaps than there ever have been, despite the fact that there are changes in the industry. You know, radio and audio is absolutely thriving, and it's wonderful to be here and to see so many people who want to be a part of it.
I'll ask that same question to you, Matt.
I think it's just good to get out, isn't it? And to meet new people, to get out, go to somewhere new, meet some new faces. I think a lot of people, and I probably include myself in this, we come maybe to contribute something, but also we learn a huge amount. I think a lot of people are just trying to work out what their next step is. I think having something like this with people in the room who are just maybe a few steps ahead, it just kind of takes away all that mystery. And you've got people there who you can literally just sort of go up to, tap on the shoulder and ask really simple questions too. And I think that there's just huge value in being able to just realize everyone to some extent is in the same boat and just trying to work out what their next step is. And the radio industry is, I think, possibly unique in the sense that it really is wanting to support people coming into the industry. And I think that's what Foot in the Door does brilliantly, and that's what the Radio Academy does so well. It's really wanting to get behind people, and it's not about kind of competition and one-upmanship and all of that stuff. And I think people sometimes struggle to believe that that's true, that actually that person over there who I really aspire to be at the radio station they work at, they want to help me.
Yeah.
But I think that is true, and I think these events kind of prove that.
We were at the SRACon, Student Radio Association Conference, in April. Adam Skin from Shock Radio caught up with keynote speaker Radio 1's Jack Saunders, and he asked him how important events like SRACon are for the industry.
Unbelievably important. I went to three. I went to Bradford, I went to Exeter, and I went to Leicester. And all of those were immensely important for me. The Bradford one, I got my demo picked out at Demo Factor. It was the first ever demo I'd done, and it didn't work. So, because it was all on CDs at that point, and it glitched or corrupted or whatever, and that was that. So that was unfortunate. But like, all of these things are like learning lessons. So even something like that, it's like, okay, attention to detail, making sure, you know, what I'm doing, whether it's making a demo or a radio show, I'm attentive and I'm delivering it in a really, really great way that the audience is going to love. So yeah, like industry connections, these are everything, these events. I love them.
What advice would you give to all the students here today about getting into the radio industry?
I think the great thing about these conferences is that you've got loads of different stuff to consume. Every single angle of the radio industry, media industry, is covered pretty much. But actually, probably the most important thing, if you are a student listening to this, is to probably find the thing that you are most passionate about. When I first stepped into it, I wanted to do absolutely everything. I did sports commentating, the music show, producing, news, I did everything. But that was to find out what it was that I really, really enjoyed. I landed on the music thing. That was what I was most passionate about. And I just focused on that and honed that skill. And then once you kind of got your leg in doing the thing you're great at, that you're most passionate about, then you can really expand once you've got your foot in. So yeah, that's probably the biggest piece of advice I could give.
The ARIAs take place in May, and they're the Oscars of the radio and audio industry. It's a big night, and we were on hand as the stars arrived for the ceremony. In this clip montage, you'll hear Dick and Dom chatting to West End star Ruthie Henshaw from Magic Musicals, Graham Smith from Virgin Radio, Nadia Jay from Radio 1 Extra, Ken Bruce, Angela Scanlon, and Matt and Molly from BBC Radio 1.
Ruthie Henshaw, lovely to see you.
Nice to see you.
Now, usually we see you on stage, but you're here for audio reasons. Tell us why.
Yes, well, I'm here because I did a programme called Ruthie Henshaw Sees Dead People.
For those of you who don't know about it, tell us more about that.
That was for Magic, and it was basically about theatre ghosts. I've always been fascinated by theatre ghosts.
Okay.
So I kind of looked up all the theatre ghosts, and then I spoke to a load of famous people about their experiences with seeing ghosts.
Anyone you're particularly looking forward to seeing tonight?
Well, I've just done Kay Adams, so I've got to say that, haven't I?
And
and Lucy Jones.
So we're up for two awards. One of them is the show I did on Virgin Radio Pride, Outcast UK, based on my podcast. And the other one is Jackson Feely and Esther Jai, Reclaiming Influence. And it was a really important documentary to be made. It's about online safety for LGBTQ people and young people in general. Right. And they're coming along as well this evening, so we're really excited to be here. Yeah, it was just a really important show to be made, and just like, it's so cool to be sort of nominated in something like this and everyone to see it, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Congratulations on your nomination.
Thank you.
Music Breakfast Radio Show.
Yeah, I talk a lot in the mornings, apparently. Yeah.
Some would say it's one of the biggest awards of the night. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think I'm still very overwhelmed. Like, we came in 2022 and it was the first time I'd ever been, and we took gold that year, and I was like, I went on stage and said the F word and trying to redeem myself ever since.
It's amazing though, isn't it, seeing all your peers all in one room?
Yeah, it's nice. I'm all dressed up.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, well, breakfast presenters don't really get the opportunity to look half decent in the morning. Yeah. So sometimes people are like, oh, no, DJ. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
The legend that is, and the reason I listen to the radio all the time, Ken Bruce.
Thank you so much.
Hi, why are you here tonight?
I am lucky enough to be nominated in one category.
Which is?
It's for a show I did about drumming.
Close to my heart, I'm a drummer.
Yeah. For Jazz FM, so I'm really happy about that. Because it's a specialist
amazing
little programme.
Okay.
I'm also going to be delivering a prize to somebody.
Okay.
Surely you've won quite a lot of radio awards over the years, though.
No, hardly any. Because nobody likes me. No, honestly. No, I've hardly had any over the years because I keep my head under the parapet.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Fellow Virgin Radio UK presenter.
Hey,
Anna
girls. How are you?
Why are you here?
Why not? I'm here to present an award.
Okay, what's the award you're presenting?
Speech Audio.
How's your new podcast going? Looks
it's
great.
It's actually really great. Yeah.
I'll give a shout out. What's it called?
Shout out. It is produced by Audio Always, who actually have a nominee in the category that I'm presenting for to help I Sexted My Boss. Our podcast is called Get a Grip.
Okay.
And it's with myself and Vicky Patterson. Yep. And it is
you
spicy.
Must laugh constantly the
we
whole time.
We do laugh. Yeah. We laugh until we weep, which is the barometer of a good time as far as I'm concerned.
Good luck tonight. I hope it goes well. I hope you don't get your words wrong.
I hope I don't get any words
wrong. Don't cock it up.
It is best live event coverage.
Nice.
Right. Which is more Molly's award than mine. I'm
it's
just
really
here.
Not.
Why?
It's for Pedal Power, which was a comic relief challenge.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I did last year, but it was very much a double.
I did no cycling, guys.
10 minutes.
She did all of the cycling, London to Hull via Manchester.
What?
10 hours of cycling a day for 5 days.
Yeah.
I followed in a van.
lazy.
But doing a bit of radio.
That exhausting medium.
Well, what I would say, Tom,
now here, you're here with a midge on your face.
Oh, thank you.
See, double X.
Oh, my gosh. we've been trying to introduce a third party. We didn't think a midge was going to be in. Obviously, the radio bit was down to me. The award is a radio award. In many ways, moulded very little radio that way.
Oh, right. So it is your award.
Yeah,
you convinced me.
She just sat there pedalling away whilst you were grafting away on the radio.
No, you two are absolutely right. It is my award.
In July, former Ramp mentee and 30 Under 30 B Duncan was at the International Women's Podcast Awards for us, chatting to the winners as they came off stage. But here she is before the ceremony, which took place at the BBC Radio Theatre in London, chatting to everyone as they arrived.
I'm Anya from Podcast Discovery. Mm-hmm. We're a marketing agency and we're here to support all the women. Woo!
And is that what brings you here this evening?
Absolutely. It's so nice to see so many independent podcasts that have broken through and found their audiences. And it's amazing to see just how many women are also here to support each other. And it's such an inclusive event. And I think Jenny has done an incredible job bringing it here to the BBC this year. So big shout out to everybody who's made this happen, including you, Bea.
Yep.
Look at you doing the podcast.
My name is Emma Crampton and I'm freelance.
And what's brought you here this evening?
I'm judging today and I was judging last year as well.
Why do you enjoy judging the International Podcast
Festival? For lots of reasons. Mostly to get to hear all the different range of what's being made at the moment and the different quality of things all around. To kind of, it's a really good opportunity to do a lot of listening and to hear things I wouldn't usually come across as well.
I'm Elle Scott, I'm a freelancer and currently I'm working at Crowd Network.
And what brings you here this evening?
I'm making a kind of passion project, a female skewing passion project, and I'm coming here to feel inspired, uplifted, and do a bit of research about what kind of amazing female skewing podcasts are out there.
Love that.
And you know, is it important for you for women to be supported in the podcast industry?
Yeah, for sure. It can be hard out there, and women supporting women is kind of the base level of what we need. And also, we make great stuff. We make really good stuff, and we inspire each other.
At our RAMP graduation in the summer, Tim Humphreys from BFBS spoke to the mentees graduating from the scheme about what the last 6 months had meant to them. We hear from Cassandra Maria, Dorit Shah, Tom Wally, and lastly, course lead Fran Plowright.
Go for it, because you might get picked. And if you do get picked, there's amazing people in the program who are a blessing to know, people who can help you out, people that you can help as well. Sometimes it's not always about, you know, what you can get from someone. It's what you can give to people as well. So just having this ecosystem of people that are really passionate about their work, they really know what they're doing. They're not beginners. A lot of the schemes, you see that they're for new people, young people, 18 to 25. You know, I started my radio career at 27, so I had already missed a lot of those things. So having something that is for people who are a little bit more ahead in their field, it's really great. So if you need that and you're at that place where you're just thinking, I want that little bit more, this is the thing for you.
It can be a really lonely space when you're a media entrepreneur working by yourself. Being able to be involved with RAMP, being able to have a mentor who is absolutely brilliant, my mentor is Nicole Logan of Goalhanger, to be able to be part of a cohort who are doing lots of amazing things and having so much experience, but also still in that stage where we're in a fluctuating environment, people are doing different things, being able to bounce off each other. For me, this was a no-brainer to apply for and to be able to make use of and utilize.
One of the things was just guidance. My career has changed dramatically in the last couple of years, where, you know, I've set up my own business and I'm starting to think more like a business person than a radio person, and how to get the most out of that. But the other thing is that I live in Nottingham. I've moved around the country quite a bit. I live in Nottingham these days, and a lot of my work is done on my own in my studio. In fact, I'm in there 5 days a week on my own. So community is something I've lost. And this has been the big thing to take away from RAMP. It has helped me build up a community, a new community, and reestablish some other relationship. That's been what I wanted to get out of it.
One of the most powerful things about a mentoring relationship is that you have somebody who, as I often say, has your back, that they're in the corner for you. They are neither mum or best friend, so they're not just going to say that everything you do is brilliant, but they're also not your line manager. So the relationship is not performative. You are not having to kind of elaborate on your CV or big yourself up. You have to come into it as a very authentically, this is exactly where I'm at and this is what I need. And I think if you can be as authentic as that in that entry level to the relationship, then it can yield really amazing results, because your mentor is there to support you, but also sometimes to challenge you if they feel like there's things that you could pursue or things you hadn't thought about, or maybe if you've got a bit of imposter syndrome or you need to raise your game or change direction, your mentor is there for you.
The EPOD conference at Morley College in London is for academics, researchers and professionals to come together and discuss education through podcasting. Freelance producer and content development exec Meera Kumar gave one of the keynote speeches at the conference about experimenting with your audio, being playful and creative. I asked her to tell me more.
I mean, experimenting is about playing and trying things that you wouldn't ordinarily, or other people ordinarily wouldn't make. It's about making things that are bad. It's about failing. It's about trying something else. It's about making things that will never see the light of day. Experimenting is all about trying. That's it. Just trying something new, trying something different, and not really caring what the result is.
And when you make those things and you think, right, I'm never going to, what do you do with them? Or do you just keep them in a file or in an archives somewhere and they never see the light of day?
Well, I showed some in my talk today. So occasionally they see the light of day. I showed a picture of a blob with legs, and it was, the blob had ears all over it. Yeah. And I showed a nose with ghosts coming out of it, titled Boogie Monster.
Yeah.
And what was the third? Oh, and then a pigeon that had been run over on the road. So really works of art.
There was a point to all this,
yeah,
though, wasn't
there? There was a point. Yeah. The point was I gave these five rules of experimentation, and the first one was create often. And I choose to create in an area that is completely separate to my job and my main kind of artistic outlet, so podcasting, audio, storytelling. What I do is I have a pad by the side of my bed, and I make like small little drawings before bed. They might be things that I've seen or just random thoughts that come to my head or funny like play on words, and they're bad and I don't intend for anyone to see them, but it gets my mind into this mentality of like, make, it doesn't need to be good, no one will ever see it, and it doesn't matter what I think about them either. It's all about just no judgment whatsoever. And sometimes I love them. I come out and I'm like, this is great and really funny and I like it. But ultimately, they just sit by the side of my bed and they go nowhere. And I think it's absolutely okay to create for the sake of creating and for it to go absolutely nowhere.
See, I've always thought that as well. I've always thought if you enjoy it, then create it. It doesn't matter if you're never going to do anything with it.
See, I'm not ordinarily like that. I'm the type of person who's like, I create towards a goal. I need to make a show. I need to make a narrative. There's this goal that I have and I have to get to it. In all areas of my life, I start with the end point and then I work my way towards it. And it's only through this practice and this like creating five rules for experimentation and this daily practice of creation that I have realized that it is actually more human and better for my brain and happiness and artistic practice as a whole for me to just make with absolutely no end goal and for it to actually be bad and go nowhere. Like, it has a I can see a positive impact on my work.
Really? So you've really noticed that this has sort of changed your thinking or helped your creativity?
Yeah, it has freed up my mind. Like, I usually create and there's immediately a voice in my head. As soon as the idea is conceived in my head, it's not even on the page yet, I hear a voice in my head that says, well, that's not realistic, or that's not good, or so-and-so wouldn't like this. And now that voice just doesn't kick in. Now I can sit in this stage, in this mindset of making anything as possible, making whatever I want, no rules, no boundaries, no limitations, and then I come back to it later and I'm like, okay, now we can critique it. Now we can figure out if it's realistic. But it has completely changed the way I work, and I genuinely feel happier when I work now because I'm not constantly dragging myself down and critiquing myself.
We were at the Cross Wires Podcast Festival in Sheffield, and I caught up with Paulette Edwards from BBC Radio Sheffield, who was hosting the stage at the Fringe events all weekend in the old Coal Brothers building in the heart of the city centre. I asked her about the festival and how we were watching podcasts being made as live events.
It's kind of a new genre almost. Yeah. Podcast is relatively new, a few years old, maybe more than that. But to see people who we listen to intimately, they're on our phones, they're in our ears, they're in our cars with us, to see them, first of all, you feel slightly familiar, you feel like you know them. It's not just someone off the telly or someone off the radio who's remote. They've been in your home with a podcast, which is different. The soul of a podcast is so different, I think, to anything else we've experienced before, and the focus on a particular subject as well. This is your tribe. I love it. And so I think this is the icing on the cake to see people in action, because we all like to see as well, don't we? As here. So yeah, I think it's a great idea. Yeah, it shouldn't work, but it does.
It does. And you've been with BBC Radio Sheffield all for many years now, haven't you? And what is it doing for your city?
It's doing great. Well, look at our city. It's throbbing, isn't it? Barker's Pool is throbbing. That's the City Hall. We've had a few events in there. There's been a few events down at the Crucible Theatre, which is not too far from here. I mean, obviously the sunshine's going to bring people out, but I also think just to know that there's something special happening in the city. But there's a real sense of like a park-like atmosphere. You don't have to have a ticket. You can sit with your headphones on. You can be on your laptop, whatever, or you can just sit and absorb it. You know, I think one of the things about, I think we're so active now, aren't we? You have to be on your phone, you have to sit and just absorb something in that environment is a bit of a treat. Yeah, I think Sheffield's come to life this weekend. Yeah. For there to be an event that invites you into the city, and on Radio Sheffield we've all
been talking about what's coming up, mentioning the Fringe Festival, which is free. There are evenings as well, you can come along to have a bit of a DJ set, that's free. Some of the events obviously in the Crosswires in Crosswires is to be paid for, but some of it's free, and that's nice. So it means whatever circumstances you have, you can come along. We've got parenting ones as well, so you can bring your children.
It's for everyone, isn't
it? It's for everyone. There's definitely going to be something here that you will enjoy. It's been a joy.
Grace and Granger at Sparks University Sunderland took over the producer reins for our Foot in the Door Sunderland episode. Here they are chatting with North East-based presenters Karen Oxley and Steve Furnell from the Hits Radio 90s Breakfast Show, and they asked them about local versus national show prep.
If something's relevant, it's relevant, and we just try and keep it real and relevant. If it's interesting to us, it'll be interesting to our audience. The only thing we possibly try and do is maybe temper our language a little bit if it's a really local term that people aren't going to understand, and we try and remind each other of that, don't we, Steve?
We do, yeah. It has been a learning curve for us as well, you know, and it's, you do have to kind of sometimes stop when you close the mic and go, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said it in that way. I should have maybe diluted it a bit. But then you think, well, all right, if I'm diluting it a bit, I'm not being real anymore. So you've just got to kind of just be a little bit careful with your language.
And what would you say the process is, or you might not even be aware of it, but to keep the relationship like on air still fresh and still entertaining after so many years together?
We genuinely love each other. I love Karen. I couldn't, you know, I'm not just saying that because she's here to sit next to us. I think it's really important. I think trusting each other is a massive thing, being honest with each other. I don't take it personally, if Karen says, Steve, I don't think I wouldn't have done it that way, that's good, because it means that Karen's listening, and we're always pushing each other. We're proud of what we do. We never give up. We've still got the same passion, if not more, than what we had when we first started. And most importantly, we're still learning. Always. We're always learning.
Definitely. And I think we had that real luxury of organically growing our relationship because we weren't just put together as a double act. We had that bit of time, but we're still, like Steve says, it might not sound genuine, but it is. We still message each other all day, every day, probably just about what we're having for a tea or whether we've had a nap or not. But, you know, because we're all mates and we know each other's family and friends, and they keep you really grounded and they keep your relationships real as well, don't they? So, yeah, we're very lucky.
Obviously, you mentioned that you're really close friends. Does that ever affect the planning process of like, oh, you've said this earlier on last night, but like, do we mention that on air or not?
I think, again, it's about being open and honest. And Steve would know, for example, that although I've been married for 10 years next year and together with my husband for the last 20 years, I don't think I've ever mentioned his name on air. He really wouldn't be comfortable with that. And Steve's aware of that, and he wouldn't cross that boundary. Whereas Steve's wife, you have mentioned her name, but she's comfortable. We wouldn't do anything that would make the other uncomfortable.
Yeah, like, I've got to be careful with my wife because she reads the news on the telly. Some of the listeners know that. So, again, I've got to be careful what I talk about because, like, obviously she's got a proper job and I don't.
You don't want to affect her career.
It has been known. We've been doing the show and Steve's looked at his phone and went, right, let's just move on. Oh, has Amy messaged? Yes, I possibly shouldn't have said that. But generally, we know where the line is and we're careful to keep to it.
To wrap up this look back at the events of 2025, we go back to the Radio Academy Festival in September. Our last session on the festival stage was all about Eurovision, which turns 70 next year, and how BBC Radio 2 have expanded their coverage of the event. Our special guests were this year's UK entry, Remember Monday. In the session, the band gave us all an exclusive performance of what was to become their new single, More Than Ever, and it was one of my highlights of the festival. It's been a fantastic 2025, and we can't wait for all the events we have planned for 2026. Here's one you can save the date for already and pop in your diary. It's the 1st of October for the Audio Festival at the Royal College of Physicians in London. Another date of note for the new year is the 7th of January, when the entries for the ARIAs open. Take a look at the categories and entry details on our website, radioacademy.org. A very happy new year from everyone at the Radio Academy. 2026 is an exciting year for us as we transition to the Audio Academy. And thank you from me for listening to the podcast and supporting us. We start the new year on the podcast with a new series called Meet the Experts, where I've interviewed some of the top professionals from radio and audio to get their advice and tips on demos, pitching a new idea, and getting started in the industry. Happy New Year, and I'll see you in 2026.